All right, so last September, the Washington Post got a hold of a memo from Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke to the White House revealing a plan to eliminate protections from national monuments across the country and potentially open up hundreds of thousands of protected acres to mining and logging and all that sort of stuff. And joining us to talk about this, we have Brian Siebert. He's the Executive Director of Conservation Lands Foundation. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. So give us a little context on this. What does this mean if the plan was to eliminate protection?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're looking at millions of acres of public lands that are accessible to the public, that are national monuments, that through this review by Secretary Ryan Zinke, could then basically reduce the size of national monuments, eliminate them, and of course open them up to industrial development. And of course these are lands that are highly valuable for families camping, getting out in the outdoors, getting able wonderful places to hunt, fish, and also learn about our cultural history. These are archaeological sites, historic sites. So these are very valuable, both in terms of the outdoors, valuable for local economies, and also a great way to learn about our heritage and our country and where we all come from.
Does the elimination of protection mean that they would automatically go up for public sale, like people could bid on them, or does it go back to a situation, because I've seen this with parks, where now the state, if the state wants to maintain its protection, it's up to the state to do so?
Well, it opens the door for more private industry influence over public lands. What it means is likely more oil and gas leasing. And, of course, there's plenty of places out there where oil and gas development are completely appropriate. I would say these monuments that are open to all Americans are a place that aren't going to be appropriate for more oil and gas leasing and development. There's already millions of acres out there on our federal lands, national forest, Bureau of Land Management lands, millions of acres that are already leased by oil and gas companies that they haven't even yet developed. So why would we want to open up what are now protected areas, again, open for all kinds of outdoor recreational uses, to industrial development when there's already a lot of leasing out there for oil and gas?
Well, what was the given reason? Because, you know, I would assume even if it's a bad idea, there has to be some selling point to it, right?
Yeah, I think the selling point is it allows more control over our public lands by private industry. Secretary of the Interior, Ryan Zinke, is very much in favor of that, and unfortunately the Trump administration seems to be quite supportive of that, too. So there seems to be a real disconnect there in terms of our values. Of course, everybody supports a healthy economy and a free market, but we also need to have places where we can get out with our families and enjoy the outdoors, learn about our cultural heritage, and, of course, hunt and fish. And these are some of the best places out there for hunting and fishing.
Does any of this tie into grazing rights?
Yeah, a lot of these lands are already being grazed and open for grazing. The proclamations, this review by the Secretary of the Interior goes back 21 years, so looking at monuments designated by three presidents, both Republican and Democrats. The proclamations by the presidents, these three presidents, fully recognize grazing is one of the uses on these lands. So there's already active grazing on these lands that are already being managed by the Bureau of Land Management, which is the agency in charge.
Well, and some of these places already have industry resources being developed in them, because just from national parks and monuments that I've been to, there are special use permits that can be granted.
Yeah, that's true. In some cases, I'm here in Colorado in Durango, and just outside my window here, not too far off to the west is Canyon of the Ancients. There was oil and gas activity prior to that becoming a national monument back under the Clinton administration, and some of that oil and gas development, because it was a pre-existing use, was grandfathered in and allowed, so it's recognized. So in some of these areas, you may have existing oil and gas development or other uses that are recognized and have been grandfathered in. as part of the proclamation, part of the designation. So while that may be the case in some monuments, we obviously don't want to see that expanded into other monuments where that may not be the case, or where it may be existing in a current monument, we don't want to see it expand within that monument. There, if it's grandfathered in, of course we recognize that and honor that, but at the same time want to make sure that the other uses that are allowed on those lands continue to carry forward well into the future.
What's the difference in designation between a monument? Because obviously we're not talking about one rock. I mean, some of these locations are millions of acres. So yeah. What's behind the designation as a monument?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take Bears Ears in Utah, which in southeastern Utah. I was just there a couple of weeks ago. Beautiful, wonderful landscape that goes from forested mountain ridges down to Red Rock Desert. And within that, you have within that 1.3 million acres, you have paleontological sites. So you have, dinosaur bones. You have, other fossils in there that are highly valuable and protected. And of course, because this is public land, we as the American public get to actually see those sites, and they're there on the ground. You may have archaeological sites, ruins that are on the ground. Dating back thousands and thousands of years. You might have pictographs. There's actually and one of the wall panels you can see a whole display of pictographs, petroglyphs, so Native American rock art that's in there. Really wonderful. You also have historic sites that go back to Mormon settlement and Mormon migration through that area. So you have a whole array of cultural sites in there, and of course you have layered on top of that the natural sites too, which could be really valuable wildlife habitat. When I was there just two weekends ago, it was actually the kickoff of one of the elk hunting seasons, and folks were starting to show up to get ready for the elk hunt. And so you've got all of that layered in, and so it takes about 1.3 million acres in order to protect all those different resources that are out there and on the ground. But then you step outside of the monument, and not too far away, you've got, oil and gas development happening just outside of it. So you would not want to see that expand and damage those resources, industrialize that area, so that these other activities then end up getting pushed out.
So how political does this get? Because what seems to happen is whenever there's a move to protect land or reassign land, it turns into a Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus progressive sort of issue.
Yeah, and that, it's one of the unfortunate things, and I think we can all do a lot more in terms of protecting these lands through the lens of a nonpartisan perspective.
Well, hold on one second. Let's talk about that on the other side of the break because I can hear the music. So we'll get nonpartisan right after this. Want to be the smartest person you know? Then keep listening. This is the Josh Tully Show on GCN Radio Network.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
ProPure Water Filters, most trusted, most tested. Right now you can save 25% on the ProPure Nomad Gravity System. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer for details. That's ProPure.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the cost. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. radio.recordedvideo.com.
All right, we're talking to Brian Siebert. He is the Executive Director of Conservation Lands Foundation. And before the break, we were talking about how this always seems to get political. I mean, whether it's Obama or Bush or Clinton talking about, you know, drilling in Alaska or offshore, whatever it happens to be, it seems to get political. That seems to be even more the case with anything the current president does. Right or wrong, it just seems to be. So how does that play into the response or the support that you get or don't get for this issue?
Yeah. What I'd say, unfortunately, the larger politics in this country don't serve us well when it comes down to our outdoor heritage and way of life. You know, when you talk to people on the ground and take Bears Ears, for example, I was there 2 weekends ago, you had a bunch of people in there visiting that landscape, everything from people who are interested in archaeological sites to people getting ready for an elk hunt. And you probably had people in there from every political stripe enjoying that landscape. And I think when you talk about the values these lands hold, it's very unifying for people. Brings people together because they find value in enjoying these places, learning about them, getting out on the ground with their families. But when you elevate that to inside the Beltway politics, things turn highly partisan. So I think there's a turning point here where we as the American public can find things that bring us together, and our public lands are one of those. I mean, we live in an incredibly special country that we have these vast public lands that we can get out and enjoy, whether that's national monuments, national forests, Bureau of Land Management lands. We get to get out and enjoy that, but I think we need to do a lot better job communicating to our elected officials that these are not partisan issues. Getting out and being able to hunt and fish on these lands, go camping with your families. What's political or partisan about that? Now, I realize as you get inside the Beltway, it gets divided up really, really quickly. So I think it is unfortunate that these things get turned into political issues, and we need to do a lot better job, I think, just as a country and as citizens fulfilling our civic duties that, you know, we don't want what's a core American value to get divided up and be used to divide us up. You know, these are wonderful places. They hold tremendous economic value, whether that's through tourism, which in the United States is like a $2.3 trillion a year industry. You go down to places like Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana. It's significant. That's why people go to these states, not to see Walmart, but to get out and see what these national monuments and these landscapes provide. So the economic impact is there, the way of life is there. I think we can do a lot better job communicating to our elected officials. Preserve our natural heritage. We understand outside of these landscapes, yes, there could be development, and let's do it right. But let's keep what's special and keep it the way it is and not turn these things into partisan issues. That they, you know, getting out hunting and fishing should not be a partisan issue. It's a way of life, and we need to respect that.
How much has issues like the Bureau of Land Management, which has become a very political organization, how much has that impacted people's, I guess, disrespect for federal designation and maintenance of lands?
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. I've lived in the Intermountain West for the last 13 years, going on 14 years. I've lived in Wyoming, Montana, Colorado, where you have vast tracts of Bureau of Land Management lands. I've gotten out and hunted and hiked, camped on Bureau of Land Management lands. And I'd say on the ground, the agency is often highly respected by the people who live in those states. I think whether those are ranchers, I can speak from firsthand experience in Wyoming, who had great respect and relationship, mutual respect and relationship with the Bureau of Land Management, and they work together. It's that, unfortunately, it seems to be at times people who try to take advantage of that with an extremist agenda that they're going to take over these lands, they're going to privatize them, and that flares up in the media and in our national politics, state and national politics. So it seems to be that there's a couple of folks out there who have been pretty adept at trying to take advantage of a situation that's actually working pretty well on the ground. You know, just like I have to pay for a hunting license when I go hunting, ranchers have to pay certain fees, which are often very reasonable, in order to graze on public lands. In the case of Nevada, you had the Bundy family for years on end refusing to pay those fees. Well, we as the American public are getting ripped off because of that. And then that gets turned into this, escalated and turned into this national issue that grabs the headlines for weeks and months on end. There's a lot of good things that are working on the ground, and often things get turned into outrage, and we try to politicize them as the media and the culture and the politics, and we ought to be celebrating what's working and elevating that, not elevating extremists in the media.
Well, yeah, but even that Bundy Ranch issue, that's a great example of how things turn political. I mean, they were starting to say that they needed the cows off the land to protect the turtles that have been there, and then, you know, scientists came on and said, well, that's kind of a crazy argument because the turtles and the cows have existed here for now over 100 years. So, but just a great example of how it turned political in order to get people to choose sides.
Well, I think we can do a lot more of showing what works, how people are working together, how agencies like the Bureau of Land Management, ranchers, conservationists, hunters, anglers, are oftentimes collaborating, working together, coming up with solutions. And I think we can do a lot more of highlighting that. There's wonderful examples out there on the ground of people working together. I realize it sometimes may not generate the headlines of people taking over lands and trying to claim them, but there's some wonderful things happening out here in the West of people working in partnerships, and partnerships oftentimes result in lasting, lasting good things on the ground, both for the land and both for people, generating jobs and keeping opportunities available for folks. So that's, you know, that's what I'd say. I think we just need to look a little bit harder for the good things that are happening and find ways to celebrate them, because they're definitely out there. Yeah, there's challenges, but there's also people working together.
So the leak of the document, when it hit the news, does that help or hurt the cause? I mean, since the leak, has the administration backed up any?
Well, we haven't seen anything. The leak has come out, and what the leak does is it foreshadows that the Trump administration, led by Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke, it seems pretty set on trying to roll back millions of acres of lands that are now national monuments and likely open them up to industrial development. That's what that foreshadows, but the specificity in terms of exactly what those boundary changes may look like or whether they're going to accelerate leasing, that is not in the document, but I think it foreshadows that's the direction they're headed in. Of course, this process has been, we think, a sham all along, and unfortunately, it does seem to be quite politically motivated. Unfortunately, the Trump administration and President Trump himself, from the outset in April, said some of these monuments should have never been designated. It seemed like a pretty predetermined outcome for launching a review like this. So, it looks like that's what we are facing. Of course, we believe the actions are illegal if they do try to undo these monuments and open them up to development, and that'll be challenged in court, and not just by the Conservation Lands Foundation, which we definitely will be defending these very special places in court, but also local business owners and residents who live near and enjoy these places, both enjoy for the way of life they provide, but also the economic benefits that they provide to local communities.
Well, that's interesting, and I want to kind of get into that on the other side of the break, how this might be illegal, because that's one thing I think people have possibly a misunderstanding of, how these lands get these designations in the first place and how they get rescinded. So we'll talk about that a little bit right after this. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
In an emergency, you need a fire, now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for Instafire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the Instafire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temp from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to Instafire.com and use discount code RADIO30 at the free time for 30% off your order. Instafire. Fire in an instant.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. preparewithgcn.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother?
Get virtualshield.com,
the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust.
Get started today at virtualshield.com.
Take advantage of our free 30-day trial.
virtualshield.com.
You have the right to remain private.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health-sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
All right, we're talking to Brian Siebert. He is the executive director of Conservation Lands Foundation. So how do these entities, these monuments, get their designation? Is it really like Teddy Roosevelt rides up on a horse, yep, I say this is now a monument? Or is there a legal process that actually has to be approved, and that's what makes it illegal if they decide to undesignate it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's two ways you can designate an area, and of course we're talking about lands that are managed, owned and managed by the federal government on behalf of the American public. And the two ways that can happen, one is through legislation passed by the United States Congress, signed by the President. The other is by presidential proclamation, executive order. And the authority for the President to do that is granted by the 1906 Antiquities Act, which was passed in by Congress in 1906, signed by Teddy Roosevelt, and used to designate Devil's Tower in Wyoming as a national monument, among other landscapes. And what the Antiquities Act does is it provides the President the authority to designate a national monument, so to write a proclamation that identifies what those values, whether they're historic, natural, cultural sites, and to be protected, and then go through that process and then end up issuing an executive order to protect those lands. And what you see and has happened in the years, in recent times, I'm going to say over the last 20-plus years, that these it's not just the President sits down at his desk and writes these executive orders and proclaims that they be designated. There's often multiple years of public hearings, visits with the local congressional delegation, county commissioners on the ground, town councils, ranchers, hunters, and local economic interests, businesses. So I'm going to say in the last 20 plus years, these have become very inclusive processes where You know you're not going to make everybody happy, but a lot of concerns are addressed. A lot of voices are heard, and then the president goes through the process, working with the Department of the Interior to design the proclamation, and then designate these lands.
So one of the objections or issues that Zinke points out is that these lands were all designated from 96 to present, and they were designated without adequate public consultation. Is that true, or is he just making it up?
Yeah, that's one of the unfortunate things about the secretary is he doesn't seem to have a very good grasp of the issues, and I'm not sure if that's just his lacking of knowledge around public lands management in the United States, or he's being driven by a larger agenda, or people are just whispering that to him. These are well documented. I mean, you can go to people, whether in Utah, Colorado, other parts of the West, and you can talk to the very people who spent hours in public hearings, visiting with the Secretary of the Interior, and having those conversations. So it's well documented. There's a record of these kind of meetings and public outreach that was done, whether again that was with tribes, whether that was with ranchers, whether that was with local businesses and local elected officials. So there's extensive outreach. I can only assume Secretary Zinke is probably acting on the behalf of requests from the oil and gas industry to try to open these lands up for more leasing and more development, and that seems to be what's driving the secretary. And the other thing I would say is that the whole premise that now Secretary Zinke and President Trump can do away with these national monuments and open them up to industrial development is a really legally flawed approach. As I said earlier, the president can designate under the Antiquities Act, but the president cannot reduce or change the management. That authority is reserved to the United States Congress. The Congress can do that, but that means passing legislation through both houses and sending a bill to the president. That's where this will be challenged in court. This has been reviewed by highly credible legal experts. And we feel that, if anything, this is a tremendous waste of time, the American public's time, local residents on the ground near these national monuments, as well as the American taxpayer, given the amount of time and energy that's having to be spent on this by the federal government.
Is it a waste of time, though, even worrying about it? I mean, has the president taken any of these recommendations, or is this just, hey, you know what, this guy sent an email to his boss. Somebody at the paper got a hold of it, and now we're making mountains out of molehills?
Well, I would say from my perspective, given the value of these lands, economic, as I was saying, hunting, fishing, hiking, camping with your kids, these are really valuable places, and they were protected for a reason. We don't want to lose that. So when there is a threat at a presidential level to these places, we have to take that serious. That's a strong message, and so we're going to take that very seriously. I know a number of other people, many people across the country are taking it quite seriously. During the public comment period on this, over 2.8 million comments were provided to the Secretary of the Interior. 99% of those comments were in favor of keeping these lands just the way they are. So it shows that there's broad support from the American public. And because this is a threat coming from the White House, people are taking it very seriously. And there's, across the board, whether you're a paleontologist, you're an archaeologist, or member of a hunting organization, all of those, again, local businesses, everyone's taking this incredibly seriously because it is coming from the White House.
Has the president designated any lands himself yet?
No, this president hasn't. I would urge him to think very seriously about opportunities to continue to protect places that Americans love and care about. The Antiquities Act has been utilized by both Republican and Democrats in the White House, and it's always an opportunity to continue to protect places that are important for our natural heritage and for our cultural and cultural and historic sites. So I would encourage the president, just like those who came before him, to take a very serious look at the Antiquities Act and how he might use it. Of course, reaching out to local people on the ground and people who use and care about these lands, ensuring their voices are heard, just like previous presidents have done. But the opportunity is there, and I'd encourage the president to build upon it.
So what does your organization do usually without, this sort of leak happening? Tell us a little bit about your organization.
Yeah, so we support and work with 65, we call friends groups across the country, from Florida to California, who work with the Bureau of Land Management in particular, to steward these lands in partnership with the federal agency. So it's a partnership between local nonprofit organizations as well as the federal agencies themselves, the Bureau of Land Management. In some cases, it's restoration work on the ground, removing non-native species that are taking over native wildlife habitat, and planting native habitat on the ground, whether that's cottonwood trees that may have since long have died off that are native to an area. I'll say the Missouri Breaks along the Missouri River in Montana is a perfect example of that. To educating the public, creating maps, helping the public get out and enjoy these lands and learn about them and how they can use them. We're really lucky to live in a country where we have places like this that we can get out and enjoy. From my frame of mind, it's freedom. It's a way to get out and experience a place and get out on in many of these lands and be able to enjoy them. So our friends groups help the public understand how to get out and enjoy these places. And then of course there's others out there, other landscapes out there that are very much deserving of protection.
Well, Brian Siebert, thank you so much for the conversation today. One more time, what's the website people can find out more?
Conservationlands.org. I'd encourage everyone to hop on and take a look.
Sounds great. Hour number two right after this, folks. Don't go anywhere.